Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
30 years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. This bulletin is live on Joy 99.7 FM and hits 103.9 FM here in Accra. We are on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and on myjoyonline.com. We are also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via various affiliates, live on X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, opposition NPP petitions IGP demanding the immediate arrest of the governing NDC's national vice chairman, Sofo Azoka, over allegations he physically assaulted the NPP's third vice chairman during the by-election in Akwatia.
The physical attack on the third vice of our party, Masaudu, by their vice chairman, Alhaji Azoka. The party is together, all our issues, and we confront them as such.
We'll hear from the NDC, which is calling the bluff of the NPP, insisting the move is much ado about nothing.
The physical attack on the third vice.
There's nothing to look into, completely okay. Nothing. It's just a much ado about nothing. Look, the election was so beautiful. It went on successfully. Nobody raised a finger against each other.
We'll be live at the police headquarters for the latest. Also in the news, government moves to merge AT Ghana with Telecel after Airtel Tigo's operation posted a staggering $10 million in losses in just the first 8 months of 2025. Details plus exclusive Joy News research revealing that AT's debt and liabilities ballooned past 3.5 billion cedis in 2024 as soaring operational costs crushed the company's chances of turning a profit. In sports,
Ghana's road to the 2026 World Cup continues today as the Black Stars face Chad in match day 7 of the qualifiers.
Also coming up, Ashanti Regional Minister warns he will recommend the dismissal of Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executives who failed to perform in the renewed fight against Galamsey following the withdrawal of the IGP's tax force.
If you can hold me accountable for some of these, then you should entrust the processing in the hands of the lookups, the MCs, the DCs, to be able to own the fight. It got to a point where they had mercy in what was happening.
Because the decisions were taken at the top.
Yeah, decisions were.
And wondered why President Mahama chose a 35-year-old to lead a politically hostile region for the NDC.
I asked him directly what he needs you to do in the region. All he told me was that makes me proud. So at any point in time, when I need to take any major decision, I just need to consult him.
And what's a festival without some interesting moments?
Welcome to a party. Undoubtedly one of the biggest festivals we have in Ghana. Yes. I mean, we are here to have fun.
We'll take you to Cape Coast in the central region, where fetish priests will face off tonight in a dramatic contest of spiritual power, a spectacular ritual that marks the opening of the Ogwa Fetua Fashe celebrations.
The special guest of honor for the festival has arrived from Nigeria. As our company wanted, congratulations to them.
We'll be live on the ground for update. These and more with me, Pearl Ofori. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. The New Patriotic Party is this afternoon walking the talk on the call for an immediate arrest of the governing NDC's National Vice Chairman, Sofo Wazoka, for physically assaulting their third Vice Chairman at the just-ended Akwatia by-election. Sofo Wazoka was captured on tape in a physical altercation with the NPP's third Vice Chairman, Alhaji Osman Masahudu, in the early hours of voting on Tuesday. The NPP has this morning petitioned the IGP demanding the arrest of Sofo Wazoka. We'll take you live to the police headquarters shortly. Before that, though, my colleague James Aveji joins me with details of the statements released by the police on this issue. James, how is the police handling this matter?
Well, Pearl, so this statement came in just before the NPP could present their petition to the IGP, and is a straightforward three-line statement. First, that the Akwatia District Police Command on Tuesday, September 2, 2025, commenced investigations into an alleged assault on Alhaji Masahudu Osman at Akwatia, and that the complainant was issued with a police medical form to attend hospital for treatment, endorsement, and return same to police for further investigations, and finally, that the case has since been referred to the Eastern Regional Police Command for further investigations.
Thank you very much, James. Well, earlier we mentioned that we're going to the police headquarters to speak to my colleague, Kenneth Jesse, who was there for us. Now, Kenneth has joined us in the studio, bringing us update on this. Kenneth, the NPP is demanding the arrest of Chief Sofo Wazoka. What else are they asking for in this petition?
Well, the NPP says that the incidents that happened there are reckless and a danger to Ghana's democratic gains, warning that such conduct could fuel insecurity. They, in fact, say that they presented to the Ghana Police Service video evidence of those threats that were meted on the lives of some leading members of the party and their minority leader as well. So basically, they want the police to investigate the matter. They're calling for swift action. And I asked the person who led the team, that's the party's director of communications, Richard Anyagba, whether they were satisfied with the police's conduct. You recall mm-hmm. that earlier the police said this will be the best elections that they've ever supervised.
Yes.
And he said no.
We are interested in justice. Our coming here is designed to formally petition the IGP. So we want the police, as if we haven't seen it, we have brought it to their attention. Evidence on pen drive has been included with their petition. So if they haven't seen what you guys have beautifully circulated in the media, at least we have provided for them, so that they can take full account of what happened and take the necessary step to bring sanity by punishing these individuals, not only for the sake of punishing them, but to create a certain standing deterrent for all who would want to copy such behavior, and that our democracy will not tolerate that, and that is not part of how we want to engage ourselves in a democratic process.
Well, earlier, Deputy Director of Elections for the NDC, Rashid Tanku Computer, rejected the NPP's call for the arrest of their vice chairman, insisting that the action of Sofo Wazoka was in reaction to Alhaji Masawudu's provocation, insisting there is no wrongdoing for the police to investigate. He spoke on PM Express last night.
I'm saying that at the time, Vice Chairman Buga Buga was speaking through the mic,
You know, somebody was interviewing him.
Yeah.
And he was continually mentioning Azoka name and saying all manner of things. And ostensibly changed the language to I won't use your sister Jibis one of wisdom.
Dagbani,
Dagbani.
Yeah.
And because you don't understand Dagbani.
No, tell us what
telling,
he said.
He was telling him.
Richard.
They know each other very well. And he was telling him.
No.
The thing that you were saying about me was unfair. He was thinking Azoka was not around there. Azoka is a nice man. He's a gentleman. And you see, MPP came in as agents of provocateurs in the election. They knew they were going to lose.
We saw the video of Azoka putting his hands on the gentleman. That was violent.
Do you know the statement the Buga Buga chairman made against Azoka?
I can tell
you. Do you analyze it? Hamid Agomba, and I know the language.
Yeah.
I understand the language.
There were police officers there. Tanko, you were police officers there. If you felt offended by that, he knew what to do. Never to take the law into your own hands.
Azoka didn't take the law into his
hands. But we saw him apply his hands on a gentleman. So you don't support the police looking into the Azoka incident?
There's nothing to look into. Completely nothing. It's just a much ado about nothing. Look, the election was so beautiful. It went on successfully. Nobody raised finger against each other. The police were on top of it. Even that incident didn't even come closer to a police station.
Meanwhile, the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers, CODEO, says although the Akutia by-election was generally peaceful, the heavy police presence was intimidating. They are calling for a full disclosure of how much was spent on the operation. Vera Abna Ado is programs officer at CDD Ghana and CODEO.
I think we do not need to deploy this much security for a by-election, 119 constituency. How much is it costing the state? I think now we have to talk about the financial cost to the taxpayer. How much does it cost us for how many days the security was in Akutia? If you look at the number of days in other jurisdictions, they will tell you how much it costs for an officer to move an officer from his or her station to another station. How much is it costing us? And the question is, was it based on intelligence that something is going to happen in Akutia? Is that the reason, or it was based on what's happening in Ablekuma? I think we need to look at how to prevent this. In the general election, what is the police going to do? Is it going to be the same in Tamale?
But it worked. Central? I mean, it worked. There was
and
no
that
violence.
Is worrying. The case even though it worked, it's worrying. It's worrying. I know maybe the IGP has to do this also because of what happened, but I think we need some transparency and accountability.
But it's a fact.
Well, the Ashanti Regional Minister, Dr. Frank Amwakohene, has issued a strong warning to Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executives, MMDCEs, vowing to recommend their dismissal if they fail to show commitment in the renewed fight against illegal mining, popularly known as Galamsey. Speaking exclusively to Joy News, the minister stressed that with the withdrawal of the IGP's special tax force, the responsibility now rests squarely on the shoulders of local authorities to lead the anti-Galamsey campaign in their jurisdictions. He spoke to my colleague Elton Broby in a yet-to-be-broadcast interview on Pulse.
They were fighting it from the center. I've read today that they have withdrawn the team that was brought in by the IGP. And obviously, it was expected.
Why?
Because if you can hold me accountable for some of these things, then you shouldn't trust the processing in the hands of the lookups, the MCs, the DCs, the regional ministers, to be able to own the fight. It got to a point where they had mercy in what was happening.
Because the decisions were taken at the top.
Yeah, decisions were taken.
Without any consultation to those on the ground.
Yeah. And it gave room for other teams to just come into the communities, cladded in uniforms, without recourse to any structure, in the pretense of fighting against illegal mining and extorting people. And it was a key worry from the chiefs and the people from the ground. So I think that we should tax the MMDCs, we should tax the regional ministers and the Ministry for Lands and Natural Resources to own the process. Then you can now do a reshuffle of any of these heads that are not able to, as it were, take the necessary and the bold steps in helping us fight this. And you see, we need to define our targets right.
Right.
Which I support the call from day one, from His Excellency the President, that river body is no-go area. Forest reserves, no-go area. They should let the MMDCs own the fight so that they can be held responsible directly, because they are
with the community folks.
So which means that you as regional minister and head of the Security Council is responsible for the region, and then all the MMDs will have now report to you?
Precisely, on every issue concerning security. And again, because we have removed most of these illegal miners into the communities, they were there with guns and arms. We need to offer them amnesty and get them to return those arms to our various police units.
What kind of amnesty?
So right now, if you have not licensed your gun and you bring it even to the police station, you can be arrested.
You won't be arrested, okay.
Yes, so I will either hide it in the community or in my room whatsoever.
And if you're wondering why President Mahama chose a 35-year-old to lead in the opposition's stronghold for the NDC, well, Dr. Frank Amwakuhene explains.
It's a privilege to get the opportunity to serve Ghana and for that matter, Ashanti region at a very young age.
Right.
So it's an opportunity I don't want to take for granted.
Mm.
And I want to do it to the best of my ability so that we have more reasons to include the youth in leadership.
Mm.
The reason for which you see me attending to almost every problem.
Yeah. What did the president tell you before accepting this job?
I asked him directly what he needs me to do in the region.
Mm.
All he told me was that make me proud.
Mm-hmm.
So at any point in time, when I need to take any major decision, I just need to consult him.
Mm-hmm.
At times he asks of, what do you think? You are in charge of the region, what do you think? Then I run it by him. Once he's okay with that, I just go ahead and implement it.
Let's bring you one of our top stories. And government has announced plans to merge AT Ghana with Telecel to cut costs and create a more competitive telecom player. The move follows AT's precarious financial state, with the company losing over $10 million in just 8 months, a burden the minister says taxpayers cannot continue to carry. Communications Minister Samuel Nartey George assured staff their jobs and contract remain intact, while stressing that customers will also be protected in the transition. Already, more than 3 million AT subscribers have been migrated onto Telecel's network, with the integration expected to be completed in phases this year. But what does this mean for the telecommunication industry? My colleague Isaac Ofiejie is data analyst with Joy News Research. Jesse, he joins me in the studio with analysis. Kofi, we know in this measure, AT is the weaker part. What is its financial position?
Well, in fact, if you look at the AT's financial report, what you see is that in 2024, which is the latest report, it made a loss of 785 million Ghana cedis. If you track this as far back as 2020, in a span of 4 years, 5 years, AT has made a cumulative loss of 2.7 billion Ghana cedis. At the moment, AT's debt and liabilities has become a big burden on government, standing somewhere around 3.6 billion cedis. And on top of this, AT is having a negative equity of 2.8 billion Ghana cedis. Simply means that if you sell all of AT's assets, it will not be enough to pay its debts and liabilities.
And how will a merged AT and Telecel cope in this industry?
Well, at the moment, per the latest data we have from the NCA, MTN leads the market with a share of 73.86%, with a total of 29.52 million subscribers. Telecel follows with 7.29 million subscribers, representing 18.26%. AT comes last with a market share of just 7.89, representing a subscription base of 3.15 million subscribers. And in fact, if you look at the growth rate we've seen so far in the first quarter, it is only Telecel that managed to actually increase its market share by some percentage point. MTN dropped marginally, AT remained constant. And so many are saying that, well, it simply means that if you merge AT with Telecel, they will benefit from that growth rate that Telecel is currently enjoying in the first quarter of 2025.
Azeko Vijay, thank you. We'll bring you more on this developing story in our subsequent bulletins. Now, for the first time in nearly a week, calm has returned to Bunjeri and other parts of the Savannah region after deadly clashes claimed 31 lives and displaced over 440,000 residents. Following meetings with the Yadbunwura and the Interior Minister last weekend, gunshots haven't been heard, giving some displaced families the confidence to return home. Others remain without shelter, having their homes torched. left, forcing them to relocate to other regions. The NADMO coordinator for the area, Zakaria Mahama, says more support will be provided to help resettle affected families.
The situation on the ground is calm. People are beginning to go about their normal livelihoods as it used to be. We are also in touch with the communities. And my information and intel is that many of the people are going back to their communities. And so perhaps that informs the reason why the numbers at the camp are, you know, reducing. That notwithstanding, it is also true that some of them are also moving down south. Perhaps not just because of the conflict, but we know that our people here sometimes go down south to do a farming job. And so it is possible that some of them are moving down south to do their job. However, I can also confirm that some of the displaced persons have also moved to some parts of the country because we are in touch with our colleagues in other parts of the country. For instance, the Bono East, we anticipate that within the next 1 week or 2 weeks, things should get to normalcy. The interest is high for us to restore peace in that area. So we are very optimistic that within the next 1 week or 2 weeks, things should normalize.
Yeah, the NADMO coordinator for the Savannah region, Zakaria Mahama. We have on the phone lines now our regional correspondent, Isaac Nonya. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Midday News. Isaac, we understand the Peace Council is trying to seal a peace deal with the Gonjaura and other stakeholders. What's the latest from that meeting?
Yes, the meeting yet to kickstart at the Yabura Palace. And the other players, I think they have extended the tentacles of the stakeholders who are supposed to meet the Yabura, and based on that, there's a little bit of hold on here. Instead of the elders of the lobby and the breakfast, together with the National Regional Peace Council, they have attended the chiefs from Sola, Calabar, and one other area have expressed interest of joining them so that with their presence could influence the decision of Yabura to help them call their brothers who have left their little community to return. You know, cementing peace largely depends on all these players. And is according to some people, it's good that these other chiefs want to join them and come to Yabura to let Yabura understand that fine, they have accepted within among themselves at the grassroots that the peace should embrace and then they should forgive each other and for people to return, members to return to Benyiri and its surroundings.
Thank you very much, Isaac Nonya, for that update. You're listening to the Midday News. When we come back, we'll take you to Cape Coast in the central region, where fetish priests have already faced off in a dramatic contest of spiritual power, a spectacular ritual that marks the opening of the Ogwa Fetu Afasha celebrations.
The special guest of honor for the festival has arrived from Nigeria. As our company wanted, congratulations to them.
And you're welcome back to the Midday News. It's time for sports, and Mubarak is here. A lot to tell us about the match today.
Yeah.
Ghana is playing Chad in the World Cup qualifiers. So when are we playing?
Actually, in about 35 minutes, of course, the Black Stars will take on Chad in match day 7 of the World Cup qualifiers. And to the lineup, the surprising story is that midfielder Thomas Partey and defender Salisu Mohamed are on the bench. So let me quickly walk you through the starting lineup. Hartlepool goalkeeper Benjamin Asare keeps his place in pole. In defense, we have Caleb Yerenchi, Jonas Adjete, Jerome Opoku, and Gideon Mensah. Now, Abdul Salih Samed, Elisha Osu, and Mohamed Kudus start in midfield. And in attack, we have Jordan Ayew, the captain of the side, Antoine Semenyo, and then Inaki Williams. Head coach Otuadu has been speaking ahead of the game.
We have to do our homework, and the worst thing we can do is to underrate Chad. I hear a lot of people talking about Chad as if they're not that good, and it's an easy win. People are already talking about the World Cup, but I think this is the biggest mistake we could do, to underrate a team, to think we have already made it. They are at home, the fans will be cheering for them, so it's going to be difficult. Nowadays in football, there are no more small teams, and I know that surely if we get an early goal or so, it can be easier, but in football, anything can happen. And like I said, we don't have to underrate them. We have to be focused, we have to be concentrated, and we have to believe in ourselves.
Yeah, so that's the head coach of the Black Stars. They're cautioning the team not to underrate Chad, who are at the bottom of Group I with 0 points. And we've got live commentary for you at 1 p.m. Back to you, Pearl.
Thank you so much, Mubarak, and we'll all be watching. Now, the Chiefs and people of Cape Coast are set to climax the annual Oguafetu Afasha this weekend, and the city is already buzzing with activities, from a beer festival showcasing local breweries to an old school jam, a children's fanfare, and inter-schools football gala featuring top schools like Accra Aka Adisco, Boche, Ghana National, and Agri Memorial. There's plenty on offer. A special highlight is the visit this afternoon by the Olu of Warri, Ogiame Atuwache III of Nigeria, to the Omanhin of Ogua, Osabrema Akwesi Atta. Now, to tell us more about the celebrations, as planning committee member and host of the Super Morning Show, Kojo Yansin. Kojo, thank you for joining us. Now, give us a brief about the fetish contest. I'm particularly interested in that one.
Well, that happened on Monday night. It's called Akom's Night. The Ogua traditional area has 77 gods. Each one has its own Akomfo. So on the night of Akom's Night, all of these Akomfo come together for what you might call an Akomfo conference, where they are all seeking to convey messages from their deities to the gathered public. So it turns into a bit of a competition, quite a colorful one at that, where all of these Akomfo attempt to outdo each other with various displays of traditional dancing and chanting, all in a bid to put into prominence the god that they represent. It's a very fascinating night, and it lasts all night, by the way, from about 9 p.m. until morning.
Well, I think I should have been there to witness this one. What more should we expect?
Well, today is Thursday. Today marks the arrival of the guests of honor, the Olu and Olori of Warri. They are currently at the palace, exchanging gifts with His Royal Majesty Osabrema Kwinsata II. It's been a beautiful ceremony so far. The place is packed with townsfolk as well as the media, all capturing this historic moment of a visit from a Nigerian monarch to Cape Coast. Warri is a coastal city in Nigeria that shares many similarities with Cape Coast. They also were the first city to have contact from colonial visitors, and so they share a lot in common with Cape Coast. And currently, the two kings are exchanging some of these common histories to the delight of the gathered audience.
Kojo Yansin, thank you so much, and do have some fun. And it's time for What's Trending on Social Media. Adobe Asari is here.